The Capital Confidential podcast is brought to you by the Times Union, the leading newspaper in New York's Capital Region. Subscribe today or visit online at timesunion.com.
Who's Kirk Franklin?
Kirk Franklin is a great gospel artist who kind of popularized gospel music and is exceptionally popular.
So that's a glaring omission in my knowledge of music?
You can go Google him. You're going to love him.
Okay.
You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me, because I'm an undocumented person.
How do we beat him in an election?
We will. I'm going to run against him.
I wish you would. I wish you would, Dad. I would.
There are things in here that are unobjectionable because they're not that effective. So, yeah, sure, I'll vote for a distinctive license plate. Sure, why not?
Jim, you had your press conference at 4 o'clock.
You're having a press conference now?
That's right. I'm having a press conference.
Well, is this your space here or is it public?
No, it's my space.
Oh, this is your space.
Don't interrupt.
Okay. I'm David Lombardo, and this is the Capital Confidential Podcast. This episode features an interview with Yuri Clinton, the new president of Empire City Casino, the Yonkers gambling site that has dreams of becoming a full-fledged casino with live table games. We talked about New York's evolving gambling landscape, the future of harness racing at the site, and the competition for gaming dollars in the New York City area. Enjoy the show. Can you describe Empire City Casino for me in terms of size, what's offered, and how it compares to the state's other racinos?
Yeah, Empire City Casino is 97-acre historic raceway. 1899, it was opened, and it transitioned itself in 2006 with VLTs. At that time, it had about 120,000 square feet of gaming space. It currently has about 170,000 square feet of gaming space with a total of 5,200 video lottery terminals, which are slot machines.
And does that make it one of the bigger facilities in New York? Is smaller? How does it rank?
Yeah, it is the second as measured by gross gaming revenue. So last year, for example, we did approximately $600 million of gross gaming revenue. And there are two VLTs downstate that operate at that size, Empire City, and then the other is an aqueduct in Queens.
And what does it mean to have this be an MGM property now?
Yeah, so MGM has a global reputation for integrated resorts, for entertainment facilities. An example would be in Las Vegas, where we have nine really iconic entertainment resorts that have concerts. Janet Jackson just finished a residency at our MGM Park Theater. Bruno Mars spends a lot of time at that theater.
I've heard of both of them and her. Yeah.
Yes. The people you may have heard of. So we've sold over 8 million tickets last year for our shows. We have some of the best access to shopping, some of the best access to signature chefs and restaurants, spas. So we do an entire resort destination. And what it means for New York is that if we can get our law changed here where we can have the additional revenue from table games and sports betting and Las Vegas style slot machines, that it will allow us to bring a certain type of new investment to this property without actually growing the gaming floor, but better leveraging it to generate the revenues you need if you're going to have the restaurants and if you're going to have the entertainment features that people really want in this area of New York.
So you just referred to the Vegas location, as a resort destination. And in 2013, when New York was making its pitch for why there should be live table casino gaming, the argument was that resort destinations would be created. So far, we haven't seen that the four upstate casinos have become resort destinations. They're more like convenience gaming sites. How do you make sure that Yonkers becomes a resort destination town if you get a casino license, or should the expectations be more scaled back than being just a resort destination?
Well, I don't know the arguments that were put for upstate gaming. I'm aware of the fact that from a government perspective, it was looked at as an economic development opportunity. And I do think it was largely successful in that regard. It got, you know, billions of dollars of private capital invested in upstate New York and created thousands of jobs. What's happening now is a little bit different. I'm not saying that Yonkers will become a resort destination town. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is that it has the potential because of the million people in Westchester County and the proximity to Times Square to really become a entertainment hub that is world class. The opportunity to have access to some of the A-rate entertainers on a regular basis, the opportunity to have additional features. It could be a golf scenario where you have multiple stories and you have, you know, nightclubs there and entertainment there. We've got a top golf example in MGM Grand in Las Vegas, which is a mega success.
If, you know, there was to be more casino licenses issued, what kind of process do you want to see, and what sort of timetable would you want to see for those licenses to be handed out?
Well, I think that if you were to talk with the upstate operators, they would tell you that you should do this as soon as possible. And certainly the two VLT operators downstate, Empire City being one of them, would join them and say that there's no reason to wait, that we understand that there is a very deep market downstate. It is actually the largest market domestically, and that you have 60 million visitors a year coming downstate. And those visitors are coming with a tourist wallet. So they're looking to spend a little more and to enjoy themselves. And we know that a lot of them are looking for gaming. And the reason we know that is because they are coming here and then driving to Atlantic City or driving to the tribal casinos in Connecticut. And we think that downstate creates an opportunity for New York to benefit from those tourists who are coming here, as well as from the population that's already here.
What would the incentive be for the upstate casinos to back new licenses being issued for downstate communities?
Well, I think the governor has issued a gaming study RFP. So he's looking for an international firm to conduct a gaming study, and this RFP was released at the end of the legislative session through the New York Gaming Commission. And what they're looking for is what are market rate taxes. And if you were to compare the market available to upstate with the market comparable to downstate, what would be a tax regime that would make sense from an industry perspective, not only stabilizing upstate, but creating an incremental increase in the gaming tax revenue that the state benefits from.
So are you saying that if, you know, Yonkers got a casino license, that the casinos already in operation might see their rates lower by comparison?
I think that the study may very well result in those findings. Clearly, the population upstate, you know, doesn't allow the support of the tax rates there, while you have great assets that have been put in place. And so the question now becomes, how can the industry help itself? And one of the ways that we think that happens is to have a tax rate downstate that is more in line with the population and the tourist economy downstate, while giving some relief, and the legislative body and the governor's office would have to make that decision, but some relief to the upstate operators who have really good facilities, but need a different market rate for their taxes.
What kind of tax rate would make sense for a downstate casino for live table games and slots?
You know, I don't know. I know if you look at the competitive landscape where you have neighbors, so you have Atlantic City, you know, below 10%. You have Massachusetts at 25%. I think that if you look in the neighborhood, you use that as a measure. But you also understand that this is one of the more vibrant markets. And so I'm going to be very interested to see what the study that the Gaming Commission has commissioned comes out to say.
What's your understanding of when the exclusivity period for the upstate casinos ends?
Oh, I think clearly that it can end any time the governor and the legislative body wants it to end. The reality is that the upstate operators were given a 7-year window, and so that would be 2023, but there was a caveat that if the lawmakers decided to give downstate licenses sooner, that they would simply get a prorated refund of their license fees. And so there's an out there that was anticipated that it might happen before 2023. Everybody signed up understanding that. And now that you have the entire industry aligned that it should be sooner, we don't think that that's an obstacle.
The budget director has said that one of the challenges to doing something like that is that the state doesn't have the money to cover that rebate. So how would those casinos get their money back?
Well, you know, the gaming licenses are privileged licenses. And so states across the country put conditions on these licenses all the time. And some of the conditions just have to do with license fees. There was an analysis last year that each of the downstate operators would pay, you know, a very substantial license fee that would be significant enough to cover any rebate that would be due to the upstate operators and still have a very significant amount of money available for the state as a result of license fees being paid. Remember, the opportunity is for up to 3 licenses downstate. And so the lawmakers can make their own determination that if they want to do 2 or if they want to do all 3. But in any case, you'd get a significant revenue stream from the license fees alone, which would more than cover the rebates due upstate.
So a license fee of $500 million was thrown out as a potential figure by, I think, the Sands people for New York City. Is that a figure that you think could be realistic for MGM at Yonkers?
I think that that number, the industries, there were multiple parties in industries looking at that number. I think that it is a realistic number. I think that I'm going to reserve judgment until I see what the commission gaming study says. But the reality is that we would expect that this license fee would be one of the largest, if not the largest, in the domestic gaming history.
Would you want to see licenses distributed in the same sort of process that was done in the wake of the 2013 law, you know, with bids being put forward and a competitive process by a selection committee?
Well, I do think a selection committee is important. I also think that the state has to give credit for people who are currently operating, and we also have to get credit for speed to market. But of course, you know, the state has the ability and probably the obligation to allow people to come and bid, but I do think that the criteria should acknowledge those people who have already made an investment prior to, you know, the licenses actually being put out for an RFP.
Is there room for a Yonkers casino and a Queens casino and then maybe a third TVD?
Well, you know, there's this myth that Northeast gaming is saturated. We know for a fact that downstate has the opportunity to support facilities of full state full gaming. We already know that Aqueduct and Yonkers are both generating in excess of $600 million in gross gaming revenue each. And so from the standpoint of there's not a question of is there enough capacity in this market, it's been proven that there is. We also know that if we had table games, many of the people who would otherwise gamble downstate but who drive to Atlantic City and to the tribal casinos in Connecticut would simply, you know, make a different choice. So we know that the capacity is here. We know that the market is already really healthy downstate. So I don't think we have any issue there.
If you were to get live table games, what would be the, future that you would want for harness racing at Yonkers? Does it still have a long-term future there?
One of the things that we know up front is, you know, Yonkers has 97 acres of land. Probably two-thirds of it is parking, surface parking. So you could go ahead and have whatever type of development, you know, everyone agreed to, without worrying about disturbing the racing. You know, that's fine. And it's been, you know, pretty successful from the standpoint of the regulatory structure that was put in place. So we're not looking to upset that at all. There's plenty of land here to develop, and that's one of the questions that we have about speed to market.
And how much of a game changer would a full-scale casino at Yonkers be for the fiscal woes of the city as well as the county itself in terms of revenue and jobs?
From a jobs perspective, about 2,800 new jobs. Currently, we have electronic table games, and they're fine. Most casinos around the world have some version of them. But the bulk of revenue is going to be driven from table games, from live table games. And that's where you have a live dealer who is interacting with the players, and you have a whole structure that makes that possible. So for each table, you have approximately 5 to 6 employees required. So if you get 200 tables, you can start seeing how that multiplies. It's just about allowing us to create a bigger economic impact with the floor that we currently have, an impact that's significant enough to increase revenue. One of the things that currently happens is we give about $19.6 million a year to the city. The legislation, you know, would actually benefit them because right now that amount's capped. If we were to look at the upstate legislation, the amount of payments, you know, arguably wouldn't be capped. And so you have an opportunity to have a real impact. So if you start looking at sales tax impact, if you start looking at the residuals that happen when you have to hire new people and they have new jobs, well, then the county and the city benefit significantly.
What would it mean then for Yonkers if, you know, the state decides to move forward with licensing and all three licenses are handed out to other venues in New York City and Yonkers gets shut out? Is there a future for Empire City Casino in that reality, or would that make life just untenable?
Well, I think the study that I referenced that has been commissioned by the Gaming Commission, you know, one of the questions that it asks is, you know, the impact of downstate gaming on the VLT operators. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from our perspective, you know, any measure of selection, you know, we think that we can compete exceptionally well. But if you look at the economics, it is impossible to think that a VLT operation could compete against a full commercial gaming operation in the same vicinity. It's hard to imagine how any fair selection criteria, you know, we would not be competitive in that process. And so we're going to do everything we can to show that we deserve that opportunity, which we don't take for granted. We know we've got to work for. But economically, you know, the 1,200 employees here, you know, have really been working hard. And MGM has made an investment here way before the license became available. So we'd like for those things to be taken into consideration.
Well, Yuri, that's everything I've got for you. I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure I'll have to check in with you when the study commissioned by the Gaming Commission is finally printed and ready to be read.
Yeah, I truly appreciate the opportunity, and thank you. I'd come back anytime.
And that's our show. My thanks to Empire City Casino President Yuri Clinton for joining the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review wherever you download podcasts. If you hated the episode, why don't you just skip the process? But if you feel like you have to leave a review, Why don't you just lie to spare my feelings? Until next time, podcast adjourned.
Just heard. I tried to get you.
Ah! This day sucks!